Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
It's a Thirsty Thursday Wednesday edition with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings' Ritchie Road location, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. Welcome back as we are live here on a Wednesday edition of Thirsty Thursday, or some may call it Wet Wednesday, as we are here.
Look at it now.
Buffalo Wild Wings off Ritchie Road. Now, some of you may be confused, but you need to make your way on out here. You hear us? Come on out to Ritchie Road, the Ritchie Road location here, Buffalo Wild Wings. You got a chance to win prizes. And I just, yeah, there it is. Bud Light Girls just arrived.
Hello.
They're
ladies.
Waving. They're ready to have a good time. And come on out here and grab you a ticket here. As Shay here, he's got tickets there for you to enter our raffle and your chance to win multiple prizes. We'll start that up in the 4 o'clock hour. You don't want to miss that. Get yourself in here and give yourself a chance to win as we get ready for this huge game tomorrow. That's why we're out here today. Tomorrow, Buffalo and Houston get going, and it'll be a good time here today to get you going on a Wednesday edition of Thirsty Thursday here at Buffalo Wild Wings. So come on out and hang out. All right. Clint, I have heard this a lot, and I want to play something that Josh Allen had to say when he met with the media talking about his performance and his game last year here at NRG against the Texans. And I think his comments here will kind of shed the light on something that I've been hearing a lot of Texans fans bring up. Here's Josh Allen talking to the media and having kind of a flashback to last year's game.
I got beat up that game. Didn't play well at all. You know, it's watching that film. There's a lot of good stuff to watch from that film, but it's hard to watch. You know, I played pretty badly. So, yeah, hopefully we can go out there and play a little bit better and move the ball a little bit better. But, again, this defense is no easy task to go against, and it's going to take everything that we got from everybody on the field.
All right, there's Josh Allen talking about last year. He led off with that. I got beat up pretty bad and watched the film. And he remembers that game, right? I'm sure if you say, hey, Josh, what are the top 3-4 games you remember from last year? I bet the Texans slide in there. And because, I mean, as we said, man, it was just awful. He was 9 of 30 in the game. Didn't really run the ball either. I'll be honest with you. If you did, if you believed that Josh Allen had a concussion in that game, I think he did too. the way that he bounced off and somehow
I forgot about that.
Somehow shook out of that blue tent, and there is nothing about what he looked like on that field that said, "Yeah, I thought he was out for the game," and then somehow he came in. But I think a lot of people have had the thought, fellas, of, "Hey, we've watched Buffalo. They've been inconsistent. They've lost to teams like we know how bad Miami has been at times this year. And they got it handed to them by and not just getting their ass kicked physically on the scoreboard. That game was not close. They lost to the Falcons as well, a team that has struggled and not a great team as well. And a lot of fans is like, hey, they've got losses like that. They've lost on the road to bad teams or teams that aren't as good as the Texans. And I agree. I think the Texans are a better football team than the Dolphins and the Falcons. But I would just urge to say, I don't believe the Texans are getting a Buffalo team that's overlooking this group. I don't think this is a Buffalo team. You know, sometimes I'd imagine Buffalo probably walked into that Miami game a little bit of the thought of, all right, man, these guys are in shambles. Like yeah. I don't think they walked in the same way they did when they went to play Baltimore in week one, or the focus they had when they played the Chiefs in week nine, or even the focus they had last week when they played the Bucks coming off. I think that Buffalo, their antennas are up off of the way last year's game was, and I think especially their best player, Josh Allen, look, his antennas are up. So you're getting a full-focused Buffalo team that maybe Atlanta and Miami didn't get.
Look, I don't care about Atlanta and Miami. I think when you look at Josh Allen, I heard a conversation this morning. I can't remember who was having it, but talking about if Buffalo can't win a Super Bowl, hell, can't even get to a Super Bowl with Josh Allen as your quarterback and the supporting group that they built over the last handful of years, it'd be a crying-ass shame. And I agree. And I look at Buffalo, and especially Josh Allen, right? They're in a dogfight in their own division with New England Patriots, right? So there's you one reason why you better show up and play. The other part of that is if you're Josh Allen, you're the Buffalo Bills, and you have constantly not been able to get over the Pat Mahomes hump, you're looking at maybe not even having to face him, but if you do, you're going to face him at home if you get to the playoffs, right? Lamar Jackson. Probably not even going to have to face him. But if you do, it's going to be at home more than likely if you see him in the playoffs. So I don't know, Ron, that there's a bigger, better opportunity for Buffalo to potentially make a run to a Super Bowl and not have to deal with Lamar, not have to deal with Pat Mahomes, not have to deal with Joe Burrow in the AFC. Like, if and they may show up and be half-cocked. Boy, that would be a major mistake in Buffalo. Now, I'd greatly appreciate it. I'm here for it. But it would be a major mistake. I would be willing to bet you. I'm with you. I think you get the best that the Buffalo Bills have to offer because
close,
they know
at least close to it. I think what people have said is very, very fair. I've seen it all week on the text line. I think it's very, very fair. They have had some performances where you're like, the hell's wrong with Buffalo? What the hell was that? How are they?
Well, who hasn't this year?
Yeah. But at least it was to. So, how the hell are they looking like this against the Dolphins? Like, how is Tua doing this? They've had those moments. But, again, I do not think that the Texans are getting that. I think they've got Josh Allen's full attention because they kicked his ass last year. You heard him right there, right out of the bat. Yeah. I got beat up. Probably got knocked out.
Yeah.
And – like you remember, boy, last time I played that team, I was 9 of 30. Like you remember that and that's why I don't think they walk into this game the way like Baltimore walked in against the Browns, where you kinda, as you say, half cocked or like, you know, not with your full total attention. I think this is a game they want.
Yeah, look, I think obviously I pointed out all the reasons why they should be. If they're a championship, one of the better teams in the league, a championship caliber team, then they'll be locked in. The reality of it is, though, is, you know, is D'Amico's defense, you know, I talked about it a little earlier. I think it's a bad matchup. If you start talking about personnel, I think it's a bad matchup for the Texans. You know, in respect to D'Amico's defense versus Josh Allen's offense, but you know the tape will tell you that D'Amico went in there and absolutely destroyed Buffalo's offense last year.
Absolutely.
I mean, so is it a
and Houston's defense will make you have
right.
to
well, that's where I'm going
to,
with
to
it.
Take it serious.
It may not matter what Buffalo team shows up, and this goes back to what I was talking about a little earlier about the Texans defense, like that. That's who you have to be, right? It doesn't matter what Josh Allen shows up. It doesn't matter, you know, who's healthy or who isn't. It doesn't matter, you know, how good or how electric Cook is. When it's all said and done, our defense is better than your offense, and we're going to make it hard to score points. I don't care who you are. So, you know, that's the hope is it don't matter who shows up, that D'Amico's defense is an absolute problem for him.
Yeah. Listen, that will be an issue, and I do, like you said, I do think you're going to get, for a lot of reasons, both what they need to do in their own division and what the Texans did to them last year as something they remember. I think you're going to get the best of the Bills. And with that, Clint, I think this is something that is going to be extremely important and a question that I don't know if I know the answer to. And it was good to hear from D'Amico as he spoke to the media yesterday. He talked about it and talked about his own run game. He talked about what the Texans need to do in this game. And can they take advantage of what is clearly the biggest weakness of the Buffalo Bills? Now, with that, it's not the greatest strength of the Texans, but clearly stopping the run is the biggest weakness for the Buffalo Bills. And if you can look at their games, they have been awful at it. Here's D'Amico yesterday talking about the importance of that for the Texans in this game coming up.
Yeah, running the ball, for me, it's always a key. No matter who you're playing, who's your opponent, you got to run it well. That's just, you know, when you can dictate and control the line of scrimmage, it just opens up your playbook a lot more. So the run game is vital. Of course, it's going to take all 11 guys blocking really well, being detailed in what we're doing, and our backs just finishing.
Can they do that? 713-572-4610. Can they take advantage of that weakness? The Bills give up 153 yards rushing a game. That is 31st in the NFL. The last 2 weeks against Tampa and Miami, good run teams, but they're not teams that you think of that, all right, these are two of the most punishing running teams in the league. Clint, they give up 400 yards and 5 first and touchdowns to those two teams in the last 2 weeks. Woody Marks, we saw, got 18 carries. He got the bulk of the carries with Nick Chubb. Are they good enough up front to take advantage of that weakness? I mean, we watched Tampa Bay do a number on them. Every team has. Are they good enough up front? Because that's not something they've always been great at this year.
Yeah, I think they are. At least in a because what I think one of the most impressive things over the last 2 weeks that we've watched is, you know, in the fourth quarter, they've ran it really well, and in a way of to help them win a game in a big way. And so, I don't know if they're going to go out there and go for 200.
Yeah, I don't.
But to go out there and run it well enough to complement the pass game and to allow them not to key in on one or the other. Yeah, I think they can get that done. I think the Texans will run it well this week.
Yeah, because
they're commit. I mean, last week you look at it. Ronnie, I love what they're doing.
They ran it for 61 yards last week.
But where I was going with that, they didn't run it well all four quarters last week. But in the fourth quarter, when you needed a field goal, they made it a chip shot instead of a
35 yard.
56 is earlier in the game, so a 35 yarder. So they ran it multiple times down there as the other team was calling timeouts, and they ended up getting 15 or 20 yards closer. So, you know, running it in timely fashion, I think, has been really impressive. But where I was going with it is they had 21 rushes last week, running backs. Obviously, the quarterback ran it a couple times. But the running backs, it was 18-3, Woody Marks to Nick Chubb.
I think that's right? Probably how it should be.
Now, I don't know if that's because, hey, man, last time we played the Tennessee Titans, you know, Woody Marks went off. Or is it, hey, we think Woody Marks is our best player, so we're going to go ahead and give him the ball. But that tilts me in the direction of when they do run it, having their best guy carrying a rock that can bounce it. When it's not perfect, he can bounce it. If it is perfect, he can hit his head on a goalpost type stuff. I like that approach. So I think they'll run it. I think they'll run it well enough. Not that it'll be great, but I think they'll run it well enough.
I just think you gotta take advantage of that. We've seen Woody Marks have, you know, moments. We've seen Nick Chubb have moments where they've cut loose and they've been able to run the football with some success. We've seen a couple of games this year, and to me, I think the good thing about the Texans is right now there isn't, besides Nico Collins, I think you obviously want to make sure you get him involved, and him and Dalton Schultz, but it's not like, hey, man, this is what we do. Like, we come in here and run it. If we decide to try to run the football, that goes against what we normally do. I think as they say, you're a game plan offense. Damn it, this week makes the most sense. right? This week clearly it shows. I mean, they pulled a third string running back in Tampa off the streets, and he goes for over 100, and they did their thing. So I think that is something. I think you're right. Late against Denver, Nick Chubb was able to get some yards, and if they can do that against Denver and some of these other teams they've been able to run the football against. But I think that is a critical thing this week is Buffalo is if you let them out and say, hey, man, we're gonna throw the football and let them do what they want to do, then I think that's obvious, as you know, it helps Davis Mills. It helps the quarterback if they're running the football that way.
Well, we are 2 weeks into 40-plus attempts from the quarterback. Backup quarterback throwing it more than the starter was throwing it when he was in there. And so we'll see how that changes if they do lean more into the run game. I would imagine if they can,
see, I think,
if they
I would can think that's early. I think that's a bad stat. If we're in the mid-30s with Davis Mills attempts, to me that feels like they maybe are chasing and they've had to let go of maybe the run game. Unless the game plan coming into it is, hey, We're gonna drop Davis back and throw the football.
No, look, I think they trust Davis Mills enough to really allow him to decide, you know, call two plays in the huddle and decide when to throw it, when to run it, when to pull it and throw it into the flats on the RPO stuff. They're doing a lot of that with him, especially early. And so I think they trust him a lot. We'll see if they don't have run-its this week because of how poor Buffalo's run defense has been.
Yeah. To me, the formula here is the Texans' defense is going to be the Texans' defense and do what they've done for the most part to everybody. Now, maybe they don't shut them down for 14 points or something, but this isn't going to be the normal Buffalo defense. And then can you run it on them as well to control the game?
Yeah.
And control it away from Josh Allen. All right, as we continue here, it is Wednesday. And, yes, we're out here at Buffalo Wild Wings, but – it is a little stock up, stock down. We'll do that as we continue right here live on the drive.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin, but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Tootski, come on.
Every football season brings highs.
Yes! Rock and roll!
And lows.
Every week, though, there's no excuse for that.
Oh, no.
It's time to buy or sell.
I tell him to sell!
It's Texans Stock Up, Stock Down on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I'm going to pump those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers in this racket.
That is right, Matthew. It is Stock Up, Stock Down. It is a Week 12 edition of The Drive's Stock Up, Stock Down with the Buffalo Bills coming to NRG for some primetime Thursday night football. Do not forget, Houston, to wear your Battle Red on Thursday night. It is Battle Red Day, Battle Red game against these Bills for the Texans. And that's what we're discussing here on Stocks today. Ron, the show, Hughley, in your eyes, sir. Stock up for the Houston Texans going into Week 12.
My stock up goes to Woody Marks. We talked about it a little bit in the last second. I do think running the football may be, I think offensively, the most important thing for the Texans in this game. And I think we saw last week, I hope this isn't just a game plan thing, because you never know. Nick Caley has said, hey, whatever the game plan is from week to week. But it looked like they are in a space where they're shifting towards Woody Marks being the main guy. As you said, he had 18 carries versus Nick Chubb's 3. And I talked about it last Friday that needs to be the switch. To me, right now, it's clear that he should be the guy that gives the most opportunities in the lead back, and it looks like that's happening. Although he didn't run great, I think he was like around 2 yards a carry or so. But I just think he should be the one getting the most opportunities. So for me, stock up. We saw it a clear shift in who the lead back was. And we'll see if that continues. And I think a big part of the game, them running the football. Woody Marks, my stock up.
Yeah, I like it, Ron, because I agree with you. I mean, the more snaps you can get him on the field, the better off you're going to be, because he is one of those guys that, boy, doesn't need much more than a crease. He doesn't need to catch one in the flats and be able to turn it up the side, and he can give you an explosive. He can give you a hit your head on the goalpost type situation. And we don't have enough of those guys in a Texans uniform on the offensive side of the football. So I agree with you, man. His stock's never been higher. I'm glad they see it. I'm glad they used it last week. Hopefully they can continue to find ways to get him touches through the air and on the ground, because I do think this, he's got a I don't know how long-lived Woody Marks is here, because, I mean, if they go draft a guy high or get a big free agent or something, obviously that would limit his numbers. But right now where Woody Marks is, man, he's a third down back that can pass protect, that can catch out of the backfield, that's getting first and second down touches, and I like it.
Yeah, I know my fantasy team would appreciate it. I've been starting him the last couple of weeks. There was Ron, the show's stock up for the Texans in Week 12, the rookie running back Woody Marks. Over to you, Clint Sterner. Stock up for the Texans in your view.
I'm going to go Trent Brown. Look, I think what I saw last week, 2 weeks ago on film, I knew that they had to have seen it as well. There's just something about having an offensive lineman that can stop a pass rusher dead in his tracks. There's something about an offensive lineman that can wash a defensive lineman or an edge rusher completely down or completely out. And it literally has the ability. Now, it doesn't always work, because there's some speed issues and some footwork issues. But when he does completely shut down, lock up an edge rusher, even if it's a guy that's not a very good player, like it's not a great play, a highlight reel type play, but when he anchors down and locks that guy down, the quarterback has so much, has 4, 5, 6 yards of room to work that way if need be. When he washes down a D lineman, the running back doesn't just have a crease or a one-way go. He's now got a gaping hole or a two-way go. And to have that element, and it doesn't happen every snap, but to have that potential every play you call or every snap that takes place, I think changes the offense in a big way. And so They clearly saw it starting him last week, and so Trent Brown right now has got some stock that's up, man.
I think we'll see a lot this week too, right? The injury report is out, and I think Ed Ingram is good to go, and we'll see. We'll see. I don't know if last week was an Ed Ingram thing, and maybe that's what they felt. I would assume Ed's getting closer to healthy.
Yep.
And we'll see if that is a change, whether it is we need Trent Brown there because we need Trent Brown, or if this is a injury thing and Trent Brown is, as they say, our best five. But I get the feel that I'm with you. I get the feel that they want Trent Brown on the field.
Yeah, I think they want him on the field. Here's the deal is if it's me, I would start him. I'd leave Tytus Howard inside, and then because Buffalo's got some edges now. If all of a sudden he's struggling with these edges just from a movement ability
Russo and Bosa.
Yeah, I mean, if he all of a sudden struggles with those guys, those better, more complete edges, then you go back to Tytus, get Ingram back in the game inside. You got a plan. You got a plan for either one of them. I think right guard, right tackle's in good hands right now.
The arrow's pointed up.
You are listening to H-Town's number one afternoon drive sports talk. That'd be The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Every Wednesday at 3:30, we do a little stock up, stock down. Stock ups are out of the way. Now is where we got to get tough with it. We got to be honest, got to be critical. Stock downs. We're on the show, Hughley. Week 12, Bills, Texans, Thursday night. Stock down for these Texans in your eyes.
You know, I like these kind of stock downs because it's not necessarily like, man, this guy's playing awful. I would say stock down to Xavier Hutchinson. And it's not because Xavier Hutchinson is playing poorly. I think he had a couple of plays in the game against the Titans, and I think he's been pretty good this year for them. But it is clear we are starting to see an emergence from Jaden Higgins. We're starting to see 81 start to seem to get more and more and more. And in the last two games, especially with Davis Mills, like he's been involved in the offense a lot more. And I think the person that is going to probably lose some snaps due to that is Xavier Hutchinson. But I don't think it's a bad thing. I think the whole hope and plan was that Jaden Higgins would be a guy that could take that spot opposite side of Nico Collins, and we're starting to see him being used in a big way. So for me, I would say Xavier Hutchinson, not due to his poor play, because I think he still makes – helps this team out, but I think Jaden Higgins is starting to rise right now.
Yeah, Jaden Higgins' stock can't be up if somebody in that same position isn't down right now. Yeah. I thought the Christian Kirk would be the low hanging fruit there, but
That's what I was about to say. I was like, I can't believe Ron didn't go Kirk.
It was his birthday yesterday.
Well, it was his birthday, but
we
Christian's
still talked
more of
about
a slot,
benching him.
More of a slot guy. I think Higgins is the guy that you want to line up outside opposite Nico. Yeah, I mean, listen, man, we got to come up with a different segment for what Christian Kirk is at. It's something lower than stock down.
He's making us Aggies look bad. All right, Clint Sterner put a cap on this thing for us. Stock down in your eyes for the Texans in Week 12 with the Bills coming to town.
Well, this has more to do with just the situation of when you need this guy, and so it's never – been felt more than I think this week. I'm going to go with linebacker Christian Harris. You know, this is Christian Harris. There's a lot of talk right now about D'Amico Ryans and a spy on defense, and should he use a spy, and how should he use a spy, and what's that look like? And the reality of it is we saw a guy named Christian Harris, I think it was last year, we saw him be really the best player on the defensive side of the football against Lamar Jackson.
2 years ago in the playoffs.
Was that two years ago?
Yeah, remember, last year he just...
That's right. Last year was the injury stuff, right? But we saw him, you know, the super athletic former defensive back linebacker, the guy that D'Amico said is one of the best, if not the best linebackers he's coached, whatever he said. We saw exactly why. And it's games like this right here for me, Ron, that hurt, because Christian Harris should be a guy that could get a lot of run this week and had the ability to track down and tackle both speed and physicality with both the running back Cooks and Josh Allen. So my stock's going to be down for Christian Harris because I don't expect to see him on the field at all.
Do you think EJ Speed is good enough to handle that? Oh, but I'm with you. Christian Harris is a different kind of athlete. We saw that. We haven't seen a lot of people keep up with Lamar.
Yeah, Yeah, no, I think EJ gives you a chance, but EJ's one of those that he gets on top of you so fast that you don't even realize. So it's going to be more of that sneak attack where I think Christian Harris is a guy that he can actually touch Lamar in a phone booth. Where nobody else has a chance, Christian Harris can. So it's a little different. He can go into those situations very confidently, whereas I think EJ Speed's got to go in balls to the wall and hope to surprise him. So yes, I think EJ can get the job done.
It would seem like he'd be the guy that they probably
he's got to be. Guys ain't gonna be able to keep up. But this is one of those games where I think Christian Harris, he is just made. The reason you have a Christian Harris on your roster, obviously, is to play good linebacker year round. But it's because in these games, he could typically make a big difference. And to not have him this week is could potentially hurt. So right here on this wet Wednesday, Christian Harris, stock down, Chief.
Football Talk on Sports Radio 16 is presented by Paramount Plus. Streaming November 16th already started. Paramount Plus, it's the return of Landman. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, Academy Award winner Billy Bob Thornton is back, featuring Academy Award nominees Demi Moore, Andy Garcia, Sam Elliott. Landman, new season is now streaming. Started November 16th only on Paramount Plus. All right, I know Tyler watched this intently, and he already knew what the answers were going to be when he watched it last night with his team, Texas A&M. But there was a lot that happened with the college football playoff unveiling of the most recent rankings, and a couple of teams are the ones that a lot of people are talking about at the back half of that top 10. We'll discuss that.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.
That coming up next.
There is nothing more insufferable than an Aggie team on a win streak.
It's a Thirsty Thursday Wednesday edition with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings Ritchie Road location, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. It is a wet Wednesday, usually a Thirsty Thursday, but we're out here on a Wednesday, as the week is a little different with the Texans playing the Bills tomorrow, but that brings the drive on the road here to Buffalo Wild Wings, Ritchie Road. And I know many people are about to start getting off work. Make your way on out here. Get you some good food, some good drinks. Bud Light girls are here. They also help us put this together each and every week, and we appreciate them. Buffalo Wild Wings as well. They'll take care of you. You got a chance to win prizes. We're gonna start hooking folks up here in the 4 o'clock hour. All you gotta do is get a ticket from our guy Shay if you're on the way or in the building, and you can put it in our raffle box, and you will have a chance to be a winner of multiple prizes. We'll be hooking people up starting in the 4 o'clock hour. So come on out, hang out with us, as it's a good time as always. Hey Clint, the college football poll came out last night, and it's starting to get more and more serious as we get closer towards the end of the season, to where now, Clint, where you are is starting to matter. Where you drop, and I think the committee they had several things that let you know maybe the rest of the way of what you can and can't do with your teams and how they're thinking. Rankings came out. Ohio State, Indiana, A&M, they're all undefeated. They stay 1, 2, and 3. I think we all knew that at that point. Georgia and then Texas Tech slide in at 4 and 5. And then Ole Miss, who's sitting there with one game left against Mississippi State, they look like they're pretty much in, especially if they win. They're sitting in the 6th spot. Oregon, they've got a big game against USC, who's 15th that can make a move. OU, after their big win in Tuscaloosa, they come in at 8. They move up 3 spots. Clint, Notre Dame sits at 9. A lot of people have some feelings about Notre Dame. Alabama, they drop 6 spots, Clint, after losing at home to Oklahoma by 2. That's another talking point. Then BYU, Utah, Miami. Miami is one to watch there in the ACC. their champion is going to get in, but they got a hard time getting into the ACC championship game. Georgia Tech is actually probably the team to watch there potentially, but not much moving at the top. But from six through twelve, a little bit more movement, Clint. And I think the big talking point is people are really, really surprised that Alabama dropped six spots after losing at home to Oklahoma.
Yeah, I mean, it's not only dropping, but dropping below Notre Dame, I think, is the big talking point of
Did you agree with that? They're really getting punished for that Florida State loss, that road loss, which –
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I don't agree with it. Personally, I don't agree. I think Bama's a better football team. But, you know, a lot of it is I mean, Notre Dame's beat USC, Pitt, and Navy, I think. Is that I think that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they've left a lot to be desired in a sense of, like, strength of schedule and signature wins.
Their losses are better, it seems like.
And I don't remember all the details, but the going into this season, the College Football Playoff Committee was – they were close losses, I think, were going to be rewarded at a higher rate, which is exactly what Notre Dame has done. I mean, they've lost the two losses, they've lost by 3 points, both of them.
Yeah.
You're right. The even though the Florida State game was earlier in the year, I would imagine that's probably the difference in Notre Dame being ahead of Alabama, getting absolutely shellacked. Well, they lose by, I mean, it was 15. It got away from them late. I think it was even worse than the 31-17 score that it was.
But so, to me, as you said, what Notre Dame's best wins were is Pitt.
It's
and,
Pitt, USC, and USC, and probably Navy. Isn't Navy pretty good this year?
Yeah, but like Pitt fell out of the poll right now. So USC is the only team they have that's in the poll. When you look at Alabama, they've got a win over the number four team in your poll at Georgia on the road, right? Then they've got wins in Missouri. They beat Tennessee. Like they've got four wins inside this top 22, which is like that's got to be more important than the two really good losses that Notre Dame has. To me, it's where it looks like Notre Dame is just gonna be in, and I don't know, boy. That is you lost your two top games that you played, and then Pitt and USC. Now, if USC beats Oregon this weekend, then that feels a little different. But I don't know, boy. Notre Dame feels like they're getting some. I don't want to say special treatment, but that they stick out like a sore thumb right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be when you get down to this. This is what I love about the College Football Playoff, where it's at now, and even if they would have went to 8 instead of 12 or however many instead. Like I love the fact that we get to banter about, you know, right now it's 8, 9, 10, 11, you know, that kind of deal. And that's where the conversation is more of a debate instead of the top four. Who deserves to be in the top four? So, to me, this conversation is a beautiful one because we're doing it about the bottom half of the College Football Playoff and not the top, where before it was – who gets in, who doesn't. Now it's just about, hey, what team that slipped up two or three times this season is still going to get in.
And I think, because someone texted, or Champ Slice texted in and said that Notre Dame's always going to get in with the brand name. Well, hell, Alabama's right there. I mean, it's the reason I heard, what's her name, Heather Dinch on ESPN this morning talking about the importance of this is, let's say, like, I think Texas Tech is in the field regardless. Like, I think if Texas Tech gets to the Big 12 title game, they're at 5 right now. If they were to lose to BYU or Utah, I think that Texas Tech still gets in. I don't think they drop all the way out. And I think if that were to happen, obviously BYU or whoever beat them has to get in. And then I think whoever's sitting at the 10th spot maybe drops out, because I think Texas Tech would stay in the top 10 based off everything they've done all season. So that's why getting dropped that far down to that 10th spot is important, is just in case something funky happens up top.
Well, it's going to get hairy at that 10, 11, 12 spot. Because like you said, if Texas Tech runs the table, it's not going to matter. But if Texas Tech drops one, you got BYU and Utah sitting at 11 and 12. And look down a little deeper. Texas is somehow sitting at 17. and you're sitting at 17 with an Arkansas team that you should destroy this week. And then the game, the game of the year, right, at Texas A&M.
Yeah, but Texas got to be done, man.
Bro, if they beat the brakes off of Arkansas this week and get up to say 15 or even 14, depending on what happens ahead of them, then you turn around and you beat the number three team in America, you're getting in the top 12. Slice's point, you're a blue blood. Yeah, you're getting in, absolutely. You don't think they would deserve to get in?
Depending on what everybody else does. But like to me, I don't think they should get in over a Miami team if they got three losses. By the way, we'll see how close Miami gets to Notre Dame because they've beat them head to head.
But I'm going to tell you right now, if Texas wins out, which is it's a long shot.
You think if Texas wins out, they're going to get
Texas
in.
Wins out. If the University of Texas beats the number three team in America,
which isn't going to happen.
I agree with what Tyler just said, but if they did, I believe they get in.
They're always overrated too. They got that working for them.
All they've got to do is be in the conversation and right around 12, and they're getting in.
But like
Utah's not getting in over Texas. If they're right there and they're not getting in over Texas.
Yeah, maybe they're not, but Miami would.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, if Miami gets in, there's still other. I mean, is Georgia?
I'm just looking at this right, like OU is, and they beat OU, but OU is sitting up there at 8. They've got 2 losses. Like any of all these 2 lost teams, I find it hard. Like Miami and Alabama and Notre Dame and Oklahoma, I find it hard that Texas would be able to jump all of those with 3 losses if they have.
They got 2 weeks to do it. And if one of if one of those wins is versus number 3 in the country, with A&M, I mean, there's 3 teams in the country right now that are getting the love, and it's A&M, Indiana, and Ohio State. You beat one of those teams, you're going to climb in a big way.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a blue blood.
Mm. Well, we'll see. Text line coming in. I think Alabama can beat Texas A&M. They played a soft schedule, not battle tested. Someone else texted in.
They have the strongest schedule, literally. Ain't
beating the Aggies.
Get the hell out of here.
Somebody else texted and said, Clint, that's a whole bunch of places to jump. Teams to jump from 17 all the way up into
from 17 to 12 in 2 weeks. Really, to be told, you got 3 weeks because you got conference championship games.
I don't think they would get in. They got 2 SEC losses. I don't think so. Yeah, they still wouldn't jump Georgia and because they lost to Georgia. They wouldn't jump Georgia and A&M. Interesting. We'll see, but. I would like to say it's going to probably play itself out, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure in some route. But
again, I'm just glad that we're having this conversation about 10, 11, and 12 and not 3 and 4.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. All right, what you got coming up?
Well, look, I got a couple of things. I got I don't know if I'm going to bet that the Texans are going to win this game this week, but boy, I am shocked at how many people – are completely out and think the Texans have no shot with Davis Mills playing, as well as Joe Espada with some absolute fire speaking to the media about the Astros. Hunter Brown, to be exact, absolutely love it. I got to bring it to the people. And I think Bill Belichick has lost his damn mind, officially has lost his damn mind. We'll do all that next right here on Sports Radio 610.